This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله
نحمده ونستعينه
ونستغفره
ونعوذ بالله
من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في سبيله حتى أتاه اليقين. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, before we begin, I would kindly ask you if you have a spot in front of you, you can move up, please, because we're expecting more people, inshallah. So, inshallah, today we'll continue our beautiful discussion about tawakkul ala Allah, putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would kindly request you, again, to put on your seatbelt, because we're about to fly to Madian, to the north of Saudi Arabia or the southern of Jordan, where Madian is. And this is where Musa alayhi salam migrated and lived for about 10 years of his life. And we'll see his life as an immigrant in Madian and the story of him getting married to the daughter of Shu'aib, whether he is Shu'aib alayhi salam the prophet or someone, a righteous man by the name of Shu'aib. Because some of the ulama said he was not Shu'aib the prophet because he lived and died a long time before Musa alayhi salam. So when you read the story in Surah Al-Qasas, it's one page in the Muslim, one page. And Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he said, from this one page, we learned 24 lessons from the story of Musa alayhi salam in Madian. 24 lessons and rulings. One of the things we learned from Musa alayhi salam is he always put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see at the beginning of his story when he was leaving Egypt, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. When he was departing Egypt, he put his trust in Allah and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me hidayah, guidance to the straight path, صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Then when he arrived in Madian, he said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. He says, whatever, Ya Allah, O God, whatever good or provision you have for me, I'm in need, I'm desperately in need for that provision. And when he arrived in the house of Shu'aib and he made a deal with him, he said, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best witness. So this is the true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this reminds me of the story of Brother Tom Yaqub I met last Saturday and Sunday in Hamilton when we had a youth camp and we had fun, alhamdulillah. So Brother Yaqub is from Waterloo. He drove all the way to Hamilton to tell the youth, about 350 or 400 of them, his story. He is a new Muslim. He accepted Islam a few years ago, and he has been recently diagnosed with cancer, and the doctor told him, you have about 1 or 2 years to live. So you will die after 1 or 2 years. And this brother, inshallah, is smiling all the time. And I got the chance to speak with him, and every time I ask him something, he says, yes, alhamdulillah, I'm very happy with my life. MashaAllah, the brother, wallahi, gave me hope in life. I have some minor medical issues, but when I heard this story and I saw him, mashallah, put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was very happy, alhamdulillah, smiling all the time. I forgot about all my illnesses, alhamdulillah. He gave me hope in life. Some people, you talk to them, they make you miserable, and they make you feel like you want to shoot yourself in the head after talking to them. But this brother, mashallah, very, very good brother, wallahi, when I saw him, you feel like you are sitting in the presence of Sahaba. Very righteous people, mashallah. Giving hope all the time, smiling all the time. And this also reminds me of the story of one of the sisters. She's a widow. She lost her husband. She's taking care of several kids by herself. And she's always saying, Alhamdulillah, I'm happy, Alhamdulillah. This gives you hope in life and this shows you tawakkul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it reminds me of the story of a Palestinian brother. His family lost their home in Palestine. They were kicked out, like in many cases. And he traveled to the US, I met him. And mashallah, he established himself. He got a good education. He is now a university professor. He's making a lot of money because he put aside all the frustrations and he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go back to the story of Musa alayhi salam, Moses. So he left Egypt, my country, and he migrated for several days to Madian on foot because he had some issues in Egypt and there's no need to get into details. So the reason for his immigration is because he had some issues, some difficulties in Egypt, so he had to go somewhere else. Like who? Okay. So when he arrived there, Ibn Abbas, rahimahullah, he put a tafsir in the Qurtubi and in Kathir, يقول لما خرج موسى عليه السلام من مصر كان رعيبا خائفا فخرج منها خائفا يترقب جائعا حتى قال انه لو نظرت الى بطنه لرايت احشاء من كثره الجوع وحافيا قد مشى عده ايام ثمانيه ايام او اكثر حتى سقط نعل رجليه جلد في رجليه وقع من كثره المشي الحافي وليس عنده عمل ولا أسرة ولا أي شيء فقال ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير وكان يرصد الطعام يا ربنا جائع أعطني طعام وتوكل على الله ورفع يديه ولمح ولم يصارح يعني ماشي يا ربنا عايز كذا 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 ولكن قال يا رب أنا أتوكل عليك ويعني ارزقني خلاص فأقول ابن عباس رضي الله عنه فالله سبحانه وتعالى أمنه وزوجه وأعطاه وظيفة وأعطاه طعام وبيت يسكن فيه في نفس اليوم. So Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه he said when موسى عليه السلام left Egypt he was alone, he left all by himself and he was afraid for his life because the Pharaoh was after him because you know the story of the Egyptian, he pushed him, he fell down and he died. So he was afraid and the story said in the Quran, when he left Egypt, he was afraid. And he was barefooted. He didn't have shoes. So much so, because he was walking for several days in the desert, he crossed all Sinai from one side to the other, he said that even the skin of his feet fell down. It was that tough. And he didn't have a family, he didn't have a job, he didn't have money. The same day he arrived in Madian, as we will see in the story, he made dua to Allah. And he said, Ya Allah, I put my trust in you. So whatever good you have for me, I'm desperately in need for it now. The same day. So Ibn Abbas, as reported in Qurtubi, in Kathir, and other books of tafsir, he said, the same day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him safety, he gave him a shelter, a place to stay, he gave him food, he gave him a job, and he gave him a wife. The same thing, because of what? He put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go to Madian when Musa alayhi salam arrived, and you know the story, he came across two ladies, and the men usually go first, this is the culture back then, not ladies first, like today. So the men would go first, and the ladies would stay to the side waiting for the men to finish. So Musa alayhi salam came up to them and said, Ma khatbukuma. In the two pages, in the one page telling the story of Surah Al-Qasas, Musa alayhi salam said two words. Just two words. Ma khatbukuma. Just like in English, what's up? Just two words. He didn't say anything else. So he told them, how can I help? What's up? So they said, yes, our father is an old man and we need help. So he provided water for their animals. So after he finished, he didn't say anything. He went to the shaykh and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. I need your help. So the ladies went home, and because they came early today, their father tried and said, why did you come early? They said, we found this strong man. He was able to remove the stone of the well that lived all by himself, that could be carried by 10 men, so he's a strong man. And he's an honest man, a man of dignity, because he didn't talk to us that much. And he provided water for our animals. So he wanted to invite him to thank him in person. So one of them, the younger one, Safoya, they have different names are suggested in the Tafsir. So the younger one went back to Musa alayhi salam when he was sitting under the tree. وَيَقُولُ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَكَانَتْ خَرَّاجَةً وَلَا وَلَّاجَةً ذَهَبَتْ إِلَيْهِ لَيْسَتْ بِحَيَاءٍ وَلَكِنْ بِاسْتِحْيَاءٍ الاستحياء هو المبالغة في الحياة. فيقول وضعت أمها أو يدها على فمها حياء. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, when the lady went to Musa alayhi salam to invite him to their house so her father could give him thanks in person, he said, she put her head on her face out of shyness, haya. She didn't just go to him and look him in the eye and tell him stories, no. She was in a state of humility and modesty, shyness, she was shy. Then they started to leave. And on the way, because Musa alayhi salam, it was a windy day, it was a sunny day, but a windy day, and because he didn't want to walk behind her and see her curves, he said, I will walk in front of you and give you directions. He didn't want to look, because he has dignity, iffah, hayat. He arrived there, and on the way, in the tafsir it says the house was 3 miles away or 5 miles away, so it was a distance. And again, in the whole page, telling the story, he said one word, what's up, that's it. So on the way, not only he didn't look at the lady, but he didn't start side conversations with her. He didn't say, for example, yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's not like Canada. You wear contact lenses, anything? Are you on Facebook? He didn't say anything. So he has haya. When they arrive there, and he's trying to talk to her father, he arrived in the house and there was food all over the table. So her father prepared dinner for him. So when the food was offered to him, قال معاذ الله أن آخذ على المعروف أجر. تعملين لي أجر عشان تشكروني على لا والله. فقال شعيب عليه السلام والله ما فعلناه إلا قراءة الضيف. احنا نذكر ما وأي ضيف يجينا سواء عمل معروف أو لم يعمل معروف احنا بنأكله احنا نذكر ما ملاش علاقة بالسقيا الغنم ولا كذا. فأكل موسى عليه السلام. So in the tafsir, Al-Qurtubi and Ibn Kathir and others, they say when Musa arrived and food work was all over the table, he hadn't eaten for several days, they offered him quality dinner, biryani, something nice. So he said, wallahi, I will never take payment back for my favor that I did to your doors. I will not eat. Why? Because he said, I can't take food for my favor to your daughters. He said, wallahi, we're not offering you food as a payment for your favor, but because we are hospitable people, we like to offer food to anyone, you or anybody else. So Musa alayhi salam ate. One of the two daughters, the younger one, said, ya Adam should hire him to work for you because evidently he's a strong man and he's a good person. He has manners, good manners. Please hire him because, and this is what they say in the tafsir, we don't want to mingle with the men and go take care of our sheep with the men. So we'd like to stay in the house and Musa Isa can take care of the animals. So we don't have to go outside and work. We'd like to stay at home. So Shu'aib alayhi said, I offer one of my two daughters to you in marriage and serve me for 8 or 10 years. And this is your month for my daughter, to work for me 8 or 10 years. So Musa alayhi salam chose the younger one, the one who was walking with him in the street, and he didn't want to look at her in a halal way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her to him in marriage in a halal way. The same day. So he married the younger one, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, how long did Musa alayhi السلام, staying with Shu'aib and the family. So قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل الذي هو أوفى وأكمل عشر. So Ibn Abbas asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how many years did Musa عليه السلام stay with Shu'aib to serve him and take care of his animals and serve him? He said for 10 years, because prophets do what is best and they pay in full. بس الله سبحانه وتعالى يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وما ينفعنا يعلمنا وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله ربه رحمه للعالمين. We learn from the story of Musa عليه السلام several things. Number one, he had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ مُتَوَكِّلًا وَكَانَ صَادِقًا أَمِينًا. So he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an honest man, he was an upright man, well mannered. And he was a man of his word. He said, I'm going to stay and serve you for 8 or 10 years, and he stayed for 10 years. So when it came to work and financial things, he fulfilled his obligations. He was a man of his word, and he was honest. And he was upright. And these are things we can learn from as Muslims in general and Muslim youth in Canada. Because just like the story of Musa alayhi salam, he had to leave and go to another place for a better future and a better potential. So this is something we can learn from. I'm sure the great majority of Muslims in North America, as well as in Europe, there are highly educated Muslims. They make good money, alhamdulillah. This is what studies say. Muslims are among the highest educated people in North America. Alhamdulillah, we are well established. But there are some cases that I come across some people that come to my office and they share stories with me, and this is the total opposite of the story of Musa alayhi salam. Like, I give you a few examples and then we'll conclude inshallah. To come to Canada, some people like to do it the easy way, because there's the hard way and the easy way. The hard way is to get smuggled on a boat, and through the Mediterranean, and before, like 50 miles before they reach the coast of Italy or France, and any other country, Greece, any other country. So they jump in the water, and out of the 100 who jump in the water, only one makes it to the coast. The 99, they end up being dead, drowned, or in the belly of the shark. This is what happens most of the time, and this is the hard way. Some people like to do it the easy way, and there are many, many stories. What they do, they get on Facebook, or they chat on Yahoo, they talk to this gullible new Muslim sister. You know, sister, I'm a Muslim like you, forget married, and I moved to Canada, alhamdulillah, I don't mind the cold weather. But I'm going to teach you law, everything about Islam. And I teach you everything I know about the religion. And the sucker doesn't even know how to read the Fatiha. But alhamdulillah, we'll be good Muslim together. He's 19 years old. She's 45 or 50 years old. He comes here and he gets married to the sister. 2 or 3 years later, when he gets his citizenship, bye-bye. And I've seen so many stories. Wallahi, so many stories. It's miserable. And some of the brothers, as soon as they arrive here, they come on a visa or something, as soon as the plane touches the airport, he wants to get married because he wants to get his citizenship. So what a lot of people do, and I'm not saying everybody, but some, and I've seen stories, he would like to get married to any lady, any female. Even the immigration officer, the lady who stands there, they, how long are you going to stay in Canada? You marry me. And he wants to just get his papers, so he can't stay. Or in some cases, he'll just marry anyone, a non-Muslim, anyone, for 2 or 3 years, they get their papers, alhamdulillah, bye-bye, divorce. Many cases, it's horrible, it breaks my heart, especially if it happens with a new Muslim sister, they don't know anything about the religion. In one case, one of the brothers didn't give even money to his wife. And when she learned about the religion, she said, you're supposed to give me money and provide for me, because he stayed in their house, they were paying everything for him, food, shelter, everything. And he said, you don't know anything. After he got his paper, he got her divorce and he left the house after taking a loan from the bank and her father.
Those who are maintaining it, وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أفضل الصلاة.